Today's daf is Arach and daf Chaf Aleph. We left off on daf Chaf Amid Beis. We are at the Ika Demasni La Aha, four lines from the end of the page. Today's shir is sponsored by Henry Orlinsky, the Ilay Nishmas, his mother, Rachel Leah Bas Chaim Asher HaKohen, Aleha Shalom, his yard site is Hey Tammuz, that would be tomorrow. The Nisham Shrev Aliyah, she was a Holocaust survivor who became the matriarch of a really absolutely wonderful family. Nisham Shrev Aliyah from the Zechus of Our Learning, and also today's shir is once again sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. So we are holding again Daf Chaf Amid Beis, and we're going to discuss what happens if a rented house becomes a menuga, becomes a bayis menuga, it has sara'as. So is the maskir obligated to give a different house to the socher because something went wrong with this house? We're also going to discuss what if the maskir is makdish a house that he's in the middle of renting to a socher, what who the rental payment get paid to at that point. On the Mishnah Amar Aleph from Chaval Amar Aleph, the Gemara is going to talk about whether we take a mashkon from someone who doesn't pay up an obligation to Hagdish. He owes a karban, he owes a rachim. So do we take a mashkon from him? And the basic rule is going to be that if we don't trust that he's ultimately going to pay on his own, then we take a mashkon. But if we think he's motivated anyway to pay on his own, then we won't take a mashkon because there's no need to take a mashkon. The Gemara is going to have cases where we seem to go against the rules that the Mishnah says, where we do take a mashkon for a chatas, even though normally a chatas we assume a person would be self-motivated to get a kapara, and the cases where we don't take a mashkon for an ola, even though normally there's nothing to motivate a person to want to pay for an ola, then the Gemara is going to discuss the requirement of ritzono when it comes to a carbon, that a carbon has to be brought the ritzono. So does that mean that the guy has to say, Rotzani, what if I'm offering a carbon on behalf of somebody else, and he never gave approval? Is that good enough? And the Gemara is also going to talk about it in the Mishnah as well, the issue of Ritzona when it comes to a get. Can you force a get? And what if a person says in advance, before he's forced to give a get, whatever I do, I'm not having any das to give this get, and I'm just going to be forced into it, and I don't... So does that work? Does the moda'ah... How do we mevatel such a moda'ah? And that will take us to the end of the parak, and then Be'ez Hashem will begin the sixth parak, and the Mishnah is going to discuss when you sell karka of Yisomim or Hegdish to pay a chov. So if you're selling karka that belongs to either Yisomim or karka that belongs to Hegdish, to pay a chov, exactly how do we go about the process of that sale? And the Gemara is going to elaborate on how we do a proper hachraza. In order to get the best price, we have to do a hachraza. So the Gemara is going to discuss exactly how that hachraza is done. So let's begin. V'ika demasni la'aha. So some have the same discussion we left off with yesterday among the Amoraim, whether a person is makdish davar shelo b'liyolam, but in a different context, that it was said in the context of the following brisa. Hamaskir bayis l'chavero. A guy rents a house to somebody else. Vinis naga. And then, as luck would have it, that house develops sara'as. Afal pi shachalato a kohen. Even though the kohen is mitame the house, Omer lo, the maskir could tell the socher, harei shalucha l'vanecha. The house that I rented you is still there, it's still standing. That's the house you rented. So I don't have to give you a different house to live in. Harei shalucha l'vanecha. Tosos points out that the house is asr ba'na when it has tzara'as. The Sifra Darshan's tzara'as mima'eres. Mima'eres is a lashon of me'era uklala, that it's asr ba'na. And nevertheless, even though it's asr ba'na, he could still say, harei shalucha, because we're talking about where he rented him bayis zeh, a very specific house, and the bayis is still physically there. It's not physically broken, so he doesn't have to give him another house. He can give him that house. But the socher, says Tosos, does not have to pay for the rental, because in the end of the day, he's not able to live in that house. And if he's not able to live in that house, he doesn't have to pay for it. It's just that the maskir doesn't have to provide him with a different house. That's how Tosos understands. Shita Mukvetzes quotes from a rush that the bayis is mutter ba'ana. It's just that it's considered a dira gerua. It's considered a subpar kind of dira because whatever kalim you bring into that house are going to become tamei. So even though it's a dira gerua, he could say a reisha l'chol lefanecha. But says the Rush, if it were in fact aser ba'ana, then there's no way he could say a reisha l'chol lefanecha. If the bayis were aser ba'ana, then how could the maskir not have to provide him with some other bayis. So that's a machlokas. Tosos on the one hand holds that the bayis is asr banayin. You could still say arei shel chal v'necha. The Rosh holds, she has to change the Rosh, that the bayis is mutter banah, but if it were asr banah, there's no way he'd be able to say arei shel chal v'necha. Nitzatzo, if they start breaking apart the stones of the house, like you're supposed to do as part of the tar process from bayis amanuga, then chayiv lahamad lo bayis. Then he has to, the maskir does have to give him a new bayis, because we say that it's the mazel of the maskir. Rashi points out it's the mazel of the maskir that we assume that caused the tzara'as. And Rashi says, because the maskir must have violated gezel or tzarus ayin, one of the things that brings about tzara'as. It's two of the things, right? The gezel and tzarus ayin. So the Achronim just point out there are seven things that bring about tzara'as. It's interesting that Rashi only quotes two of the seven examples of things that bring about tzara'as. So that's what the Aruch Liner points out, that by dafka by those two things, the Gemara previously brought a siyua from that those averos, or brought rayas that those averos bring about tzara'as. So it seems that Rashi held that those are much more likely to be the culprits than the things that the Gemara did not have rayas as the cause of tzara'as. Hikdisho hador bo malas char lahekdish. Another halacha, if he's makdish the bayis, then or the way the Gemara is assuming to read the phrase at this point is hikdisho hador bo, if the guy who lives there is makdish the bayis, meaning the socher is makdish the bayis, then malas char lahekdish. Then he has to pay the rental payments to hekdish. Says Gemara, hikdisho hador bo heichi matzi makdish la. The socher is makdish the house. How could the socher be makdish the house? Ish ki yaktish beso kodesh amarachmana. That he's a person can be makdish beso ma beso birushus. So just like his own house is in his rishus, I've called birushus, so you can only be makdish something that's in your rishus. This bias is not in the rishus of the socher; it's in the rishus of the maskir. Says Gemara, no, we put the comma in the wrong place. Hachi kamer hikdisho maskir. If the maskir is makdish it, hadorbo malas chalahegdish. The one who lives there is malas chalahegdish. So it's not hikdisho hadorbo malas chalahegdish. It's hikdisho hadorbo malas chalahegdish. If the masker is the one that's makdish it, then the guy living there has got to pay the schar lahegdish. Hikdisho masker hechidayer bay. Wait a second. If the masker was makdish it, how could the socher live there? B'me'ila ka'i. He's violating this of me'ila because he's being nana from a bias that belongs to hegdish. Isn't that a violation of me'ila? And Tosus points out, even though he wasn't pogame in the guf ha'bayis, normally when you violate me'ila, you're pogame in the hegdish. You make it, you devalue it in some way. The Meseches Me'ila and Daf Yud Ches, the Mishnah tells us that someone who's nana min ha'hegdish shavu pruta afal pi shalo pogam ma'al, that you don't need to be pogame. Tosus points out from the Gemara me'ila, you don't need to be pogame in order to violate me'ila as long as you were nana a shavar pruta. Tosus also points out normally there's no me'ila b'mechubar l'karka, and yet the Gemara is still assuming that there is me'ila over here, because we must be assuming like the shita of Rav in Maseches Me'ila that something that was talush l'besov chibro is subject to me'ila. So even though the karka is not subject to me'ila, but the avanim or the eitzim that the house was made out of, that was once detached and then reattached to the ground, so that is subject to me'ila. So again, the Gemara's question is, if the masker was actually makdish the house, how can the socher continue to live there? It's a violation of me'ila. V'su, malas char lahegdish, kim demal bei nafak leischar l'chulin. Why would he have to pay the rental payments to hegdish once the socher was moel by using the house? The schar should go l'chulin, like any object of hegdish, that once you use it, it becomes chulin. So says Gemara, da'amar l'kshiyav l'scharo yikdash. No, the case is that the masker said that when rental payments come in, I am being makdish those rental payments. That's the ukimta that we're making of when you give schar lahegdish. And it's all because of that line that we're quoting this whole thing over here. Because that line brings about the following conversation. Wait, he's being makdish rental payments that have not yet come in. But I thought a person can't be makdish something that doesn't exist yet, and the rental payments don't exist yet. Some review, Damarav, Hamani, Rameir, he, Damarad, Makdish, Dabar Shloba Liolam. Oh, we must be assuming that Shitas Rameir, that a person can be Makdish something that's Loba Liolam. Ikada Amri, another version of this, of how this answer was formulated, that Amri Rav Papa L'Abaye, Amri Rav Mari Bar Chama L'Rav Chista, Kiman K'Rabbi Meir, is this Mishnah assuming like Rav Meir, Damarada Makdash Dover Shloba Liolam, that a person could be Makdash Dover Shloba Liolam, and that's why the Masker is able to be Makdash, the rental payments that have not yet come in? Amri El Kiman, of course, who else could it be going like? Obviously, it's going like Rav Meir, that a person is Makdash Dover Shloba Liolam. Okay, new Mishnah now. So the Mishnah is going to discuss a person becomes chayiv in something toward Hagdish and he has not yet paid it up. Can we take a mashkon from him? So chayave arachin, if he's chayiv an erech payment, mimashkin l'son, we will take a mashkon for that chayiv until he pays up, because it is likely that if we don't take a mashkon, he's not going to pay up. So that's why we take the mashkon. Briska Rav has a chakira, what the nature of the netilas mashkon is over here. Why is it that we take a mashkon? Is this a din of kfiya, that we take the mashkon to force him to pay up what he actually owes? Or maybe no, maybe this isn't kfiya, that we're forcing him, that this is our way of squeezing him until he pays. Maybe this is the payment. It's a gviya, that when we take the mashkon, we are actually collecting what he actually owes to Hagdish. What would be the nafkamina? Nafkamina would be who takes the mashkon from him. Is it the gizbar that takes the mashkon from him? Or is it Beis Din that takes the mashkon from him? If it's din and kfiya, Beis Din is kofen al mitzvos. Beis Din is the one that forces him to do what he has to do. So Beis Din would be the one that would take the mashkon. But if it's din and gviya, in actually collecting, it's the gizbar's business to be collecting the money for Hagdish. So that's what Briskra points out. Rabbeinu Gershom mentions that it's the gizbar that collects the mashkon. So that seems to be a raya that it's a din in gviya and not a din in kfiya. However, the Brisker Rav thinks that the Rambam disagrees. That the Rambam, third parak of Hilchos Arachin, Halacha Yadalit, writes that we're memashkin in chayave ha'arachin, and we don't have to return the mashkon when they need the mashkon. The very idea that there would even be a conversation about returning the mashkon when they need the mashkon implies that it's a din in kfiya, not gviya. Because if you've already collected and that was his payment, why would you be returning payment that he owed? It wouldn't even be shayich to discuss. The Rambam, by bringing up the discussion of whether we return it or not, strongly implies that it's a din in kfiya, in just forcing him, not a din in gviya. So that's the lumdus of this first line. Chayav echatos v'ashamos, when it comes to chayav echatos v'asham, a person is chayav to bring echatos v'asham for his own kapara, ein mashkin osam. We don't have to take a mashkin from him. He needs his kapara. He's going to want his kapara. He's going to be self-motivated to bring the chatos and the asham. Chayav eolos v'shlamim, mashkin osam. But if he's chayav and eolos v'shlamim, which is primarily not really for kapara, so then we do have to take a mashkon to make sure that he in fact pays up. Even though a person does not get kapara until he agrees to do it, he has to. It has to be baratzom. So in that sense, taking a mashkon seems to be unproductive, because we're doing that against his will. Shenamar, because the pasuk says liritzono, so kofno sachiyom rotzani. But we can force him until he says rotzani. So if he says rotzani in the end, even though we had to squeeze a little until he said rotzani, that's perfectly fine. V'cheinatomer b'gitei nashim. And we have such a similar idea, more famously probably by gittin. That by gittin also kofno sachiyom rotzani. If a man refuses to give his wife a get, and he's halachically supposed to give his wife a get, so we beat him up until he says rotzani. We're allowed to force him until he says that he's interested in doing it. And that's the famous formulation of the Rambam in the second parak of Hilchos Gerish. And the Rambam formulates why it is that rotzani works. He obviously doesn't want you beating him up, so he's going to say whatever it will take to get you to stop beating him up. So the Rambam writes, Misha takfo yitzro hara, someone whose yitzro hara gets the best of him, levatel mitzvah, lasas aveira, timim vatel mitzvah, to do an aveira, vuhuka ad sha'asa dover shechayav la'asoso, and then you beat him up until he does what he's supposed to do. Or actually, the srachik midavish also also, or he stops doing what he's not supposed to do. Ein za anus mimenu elohu anas atzmo bedaato hara'a. He was being ma'anes himself with his bad idea of trying to violate the halacha. Lefichach zeshe ena rotza legarish. So a guy who doesn't want to get divorced when he's obligated to, me'achshu rotza lios mi'Yisrael, but he wants to be a Jew, rotzu lasos kol mitzvos l'srachik min averos. So deep down we know he wants to do all the mitzvos, he wants to stay away from the averos. The yitzro shatakfos, this is yitzro hara that's getting in his way, in the way of what his real desire is. V'kivet shehuka That's the Rambam's famous formulation, why that's called the Ritzono. What we're essentially doing is we're beating away the Yetzer Hara so we can get to the core of what the person really wants. And deep down, we assume the Pintaliyid, somewhere in there, wants to do the right thing. That's the Rambam's formulation. That's the famous formulation. The less famous formulation is the way Tulsa says in the Maseches Baba Basra. Tulsa, in the third paragraph of Baba Basra, in Daf Mem Ches, quotes the reason that for these two things that he's chayiv la'asosam is that anytime a person is chayiv to do something and he's not gonna he doesn't lose by us forcing him to do it. Meaning, if he has a halachic obligation to do it, it's not a loss for him to do it. It's the right thing for him. So it says, if you forced a person to sell you something where you paid him for the full market value, but he never said that he was interested in the sale, and you forced him to accept your offer. So since he doesn't have a hefsid from it, and he said that he wants it, meaning you forced him to do it, that it is a binding sale. And the same is true by a carbon and a get. He's chayiv in doing it. So agav the kfiyah, he agrees to do what he's obligated to do. It's like a forced sale. As opposed to, if a man is not mechuyiv to be megaresh his ishto, and you force him to be megaresh his ishto, then that's like forcing a matana. Forcing a matana is not a valid transaction. Forcing a matana is just stop stealing. So you're not allowed to, so that is not a valid transaction. That's how Tulsa understands. When you force someone to do something that they're obligated to do, so it's like forcing a sale, where it's at least chal. When you force someone to do something that they're not obligated to do, then it's like forcing a matana, and that is not chal. So those are the two formulations of how to say, of how to understand kofnos hashiyam rotzadi. Says Mara, Amra Papa, we said rules in the Mishnah, that when it comes to a chatas and a Russian person, self-motivated, we don't need to take a mashkon. When it comes to an ola and a shlamim, he's not self-motivated, we're going to need to take a mashkon. So Amra Papa pa'amim shechayavi chataos mimashkonosan and chayavi olos ein mimashkonosan. Sometimes it's the reverse, that we're going to need to take a mashkon from someone who's chayavi chatos and not from someone who's chayavi ola. How so? Chayavi chatos mimashkonosan b'chatos nazir. When it's a chatos that he brings at the end of his nazirus, we have to bring three karbonos. He's got to bring an ola, chatos, and a shlamim. So without these karbonos, his nazirus continues indefinitely. We're still going to have to take a mashkon from him. Why? Since the halacha is, if he's megaleach his hair over one of these karbanos, yotza, he's yotze, even though he wasn't makrav all three karbanos, v'im nizrak of alav echad min adamim, if you're zorik the dam of one of the three karbanos, hutar nazir lishlos yayim l'tamil l'mesim, he's already now no longer a nazir, he's out of his nazirus, he's allowed to be drink wine, he's allowed to be l'tamil l'mesim. So since he knows that by just bringing one of the karbanos, he's already going to be done, so pasha mevlo maisi, he's going to be posheya, and he's not going to bring the chatas. And that's why we need to take a mashkon to make sure that he actually does bring the chatas. Where do we have chayavi olos ein mimashkonosan? Where do we have chayavi olos where we don't need to take a mashkon because you can be sure that the person is going to be motivated on their own? But olas yoledes. That's talking about a yoledes who has to bring a chatas and an ola after she gives birth. Now the halacha is she's not allowed to eat kachim until she brings the chatas and the ola. So she's going to be self-motivated to bring that ola so that she can eat kachim. What's the reason that you say that an olas yoledes, that the ola will be ma'akif her from eating kachim? Da'ak demekra. It's because the Torah tells us the chiyuv of the ola of a yoledes before the chiyuv of a chatas. And we know she's certainly not allowed to eat kachim until she brings her chatas. So if the ola has got to come before the chatas, and the chatas has to come before she eats kachim, obviously she needs her ola before she can eat kachim. So says the Gemara, va'amar Rava l'mekra'a hikti ma'kasuv. But wait, didn't Rava tell us that the fact that the Torah puts ola before chatas is only just the seder apsukim, but it's not the seder advarim as it has to happen? She doesn't actually have to bring an ola before the chatas. So it's really only the chatas that's matir her to eat kachim. That's how Rashi understands what that means. L'mekra'a hikdima kasuv, that it's only the way it appears in the psukim, but it's not. There's nothing actually that has to happen about the ola before the chatas. Tosfos Maseches Vachem and Daf Tzadi says in the name of Rabbeinu Chaim that she doesn't have to be makriv the olah first, but the reason the Torah put olah first is because she has to be makdish the olah first. So even though she could be makriv the chatas before the olah, but either way the question of our Gemara would still stand, meaning she doesn't need to be makriv the olah in order to have her kapara. So that's why we would take a mashkon. Shitum Kubet says has a different way. He says the makra'a is lashon of mikra, that it's lashon of happenstance, that if it happens that she has only one animal, so then she could do the ola, and then she should do only the ola, and when she finally finds another animal, then do the chatas. And that's why the Torah is makdim the ola. Sometimes dine kedima mean which one comes first, sometimes dine kedima mean which one happens, if you can only do one. So that's what the Shidduch Bet suggests, that l'makra hikdima hakasav, the kedima means that if she only has one, that's the one she does. She does the ola. If she has two, she could do whichever one first. She could even do the chatas first. In whichever way you say, the Gemara's kasha stands. The Gemara's kasha is that how can you say that the ola is ma'akef her from eating kachim? It doesn't seem that way. We assume that even though the Torah puts the word ola, puts the chiv of the ola before the chiv of the chatas, you can bring the chatas without the ola. Ela ba'olas mitzara. So when Rav Papa said that an ola, that there is a type of carbon ola that you don't have to take a mashkon because you can be sure that the person will be self-motivated, you're right. It's not an ola siyoledes. The yoledes has no motivation to bring the ola. She could bring her chatas and eat her kachim. No, it's ba'olas mitzara. We're talking about the ola that a mitzara brings. Titania, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yehuda ben Baroka, Omer, and the Acharim say it's obviously Rabbi Yochum ben Baroka. It must have said Reish Yud, and somehow someone got it wrong. It's Rabbi Yehuda ben Baroka, because it's always Rabbi Yochum ben Baroka. Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yochum ben Baroka, said, Keshem shechatas v'asham o'ikavto, kacho laso ikavto. Just like a person's chatas and asham is ma'akif him from achieving tahara, the ola is also ma'akif him from achieving tahara, and therefore he's going to be very motivated to bring that ola, and there's no need to take a mashkon. Period. Then we get into the last line that the Mishnah said. V'alfa b'shein v'schapelo ad she'is ratzeh. Even though there is no kapara until the person says that they're doing it l'ritzono, you're allowed to be kof for them, you're allowed to force them until they say rotzani, until they say that they're interested. Tanu rabbanan yakrivo somalam shekofno. So yakrivo so tells me that you're allowed to be kofe. So yachol bal karcho, I may think really be kof him against his will. Tavolomar l'ritzono. That's why it says l'ritzono. Haketzad, how could it be both that you're kofe and it's l'ritzono? Kofno sachiyam rotzani. You force him until he says that it is his ritzon. Amr Shmuel, Ola tzricha das, shenemer l'ritzono. The Ola requires das habaylim, meaning it has to be done the ritzono of the baylim, and because the pasuk says l'ritzono, says Mar Maikamashmalan. What's the great chiddush of Shmuel? Tanina, that's our Mishnah. Avli shenim eskapalosh etzrasa, shenemer l'ritzono. You need das. He has to have agreed. You can't just bring the carbon ola without the agreement of the person who's chayiv the carbon ola. That's pasuk. That's what it says in the Mishnah. What's Shmuel telling me? So says Mar lo tzricha. Shmuel is telling me chiddush. The parish lechavre. The case is someone else is mafresh a carbon ola for this guy who's chayev the ola. So Shmuel is saying that the mischaper, the one who's getting the kapara, has to know that the other guy was mafresh a carbon for him. And Shmuel has to tell me this great chiddush because ma'u detema, I would have thought that you don't need his das. Ki bina das mididei. When do you need his das? When you're taking his own money to pay for the ola. So then he better approve of that expense that you're going to take his own money to pay for the carbon. But if someone else is covering the cost anyway, what does he care? So it's Zachladim Shol Befana. This guy's doing a great favor for him. He's bringing his carbon ola for him. So lo, I would think that you don't need his das. Kamash Malad. That's why he's telling us that yes, you do. You need his das in such a case. Why? Zimnin delo nichle delchaper midi delo didei. Sometimes a person wants to pay for things. He doesn't want that. His kapara is going to come from something that doesn't belong, from money that doesn't belong to him. He wants to be able to pay for his own kapara. It's a little bit difficult because the Brisker Rav points out the Gemara could have just said b'pshitos that the reason is that that you need his das is because it says l'ritzono, meaning why is the kamash malan that sometimes a person insists on paying it for himself? You should say kamash malan l'ritzono. That's why the pasuk says l'ritzono, that it has to be. He has to be aware of it. It has to be with his ratzav. So the Brisker Rav points out that there's makom to say that it works mishum zechiyah. And Zechiah is considered the Ritzana, meaning why is it that that Zechiah works? So Zechiah is mitam shlichus, according to many Rishonim. Zechiah works midin shlichus. Shlichus only works with the person's das. I have to make you my shliach, but when it's a total zechus for me, you can make yourself my shliach, because there's an assumption of ratzon. There's an assumption of amino shlichus. So we are also there, if since it's a total zechus for the guy, so it's an assumption that he would want to make you a shliach. So that's what the Kamash Milan is. It's not a total zechus. People feel like they want to be able to pay for their own kapara, that they shouldn't have to rely on other people to pay for their kapara. So Meisvei, so the Gemara asks on Shmuel, you know, the Brisa says that chatos of Hashem shall ploni alai, that if a person accepts the chiv chatos or Hashem of another person on himself, ledas yatsa, shelo ledas lo yatsa, that only if he did it ledas of the mischaper is the mechaper yotze, shelo ledas he's not yotze. Olasu shlam of shaploni alai, you commit to give someone else's carbon olu or shlamim, bein ladas, bein shalol ladas yatsa. You yotze whether it's ladas or shalol ladas. And that's against Shmuel. Shmuel said, even by an ola, you need the das of the guy who's chayiv in the carbon. You can't say, bein ladas, bein shalol ladas. So this is a kasha on Shmuel. So Amalach Shmuel would say, Ki tanya hi, that price is not against me. That price is talking about a very specific case. It's talking about Bishas Kapara, that you don't need the Das Bailim at the time of the actual Kapara. The Iratzi Bishas Afrasha, because he already expressed his Das at the time of the Afrasha. Meaning there are two critical moments. There's the Afrasha Sakarban and the Hakrava Sakarban. Shmuel says, yeah, I said you need Das. That's at the Hafrashas HaKarban. The Hakravas HaKarban, that's what the Braisa was talking about, you don't need das at the time of the Hakrava of the Karban. The Briskarav explains that since he's Misratza at Shas HaFrasha, we assume Mistama, he's still Merutza Bekach at the Shas HaKapara. He knew what the next step was, right? If there's going to be a Hafrasha, he knows the next thing that's going to happen is the Kapara. So it sounds like if he knew, if you knew at the Shas Kapara that the guy doesn't want it, then you're not able to be mafresh it, from Briskarav points out. I mean, the whole idea is that since he expressed his das at the time of the Afrasha, you assume that das is still in place at the time of the Kapara. What if at the time of the Kapara he's screaming, no, don't do it, I don't want it? Then l'chari, you can't do it. It's only based on the mistama that his das is still there. And that's what Rabbeinu Gershom writes. Briskarav just points out, then why by Echatz Noshem is it different? We said he needs his das b'shas hafrasha and b'shas hakavar. Why can't you assume the stam das continues over there as well by Echatz and Noshem, that if he approved b'shas hafrasha, that he would continue to approve at the shas kapar? So Briskarav points out that by Echatz Noshem, it's also mistama, we assume that he's okay with it, but by those karbanos, mistama is not enough. There's a specific requirement of expressed das at the shas kapara, and that's the difference between Ola on the one hand and Chatas Hashem on the other hand. By an Ola, as long as we know, as long as we can assume that there's das, we can go ahead with the kapara. By Chatas Hashem, no assumptions. It has to be an expressed das at the shas kapara in order to go ahead with it. So that's how Shmuel's miyashiv, that there's a difference between the shas hafrasha, where certainly you need his das, and the shas kapara, where you don't need his expressed das. Says Mar Upliga de Ula. If that's how Shmuel is Miyashev, his own Shita with the Braisa, that's against Ula. So Amar Ula, Ula says the exact opposite. Lo chilku ben chatas alel shechatas shrichadas b'shas hafrasha, va'ola ein shrichadas b'shas hafrasha. Av b'shas kapari idi v'idi l'das yatsa shlo l'das lo yatsa. Ula will say the opposite. You don't need the guy's das by the shas hafrasha, you only need his das by the shas kapara. The exact opposite of what Shmuel says. Tosus points out that the svara for each one is pretty clear. Shmuel holds, you need his das at the shas hafrasha, because the Gemara said, a person's not interested in being mischaper with a karban that's not his, so you need his approval. But at the shas kapari, you don't need his das, even though he's not able to be to do the smicha on the karban, but he knew that that's what was going to happen, meaning at the shas hafrasha, he approved of it, and he knew what that, you know, what that meant, that they were going to bring it without his das. Whereas Ula holds, at the shas hafrasha, you don't need his das because the ola is not ba'al chet, so he doesn't care if it doesn't come from his, because it's not really achieving a kapara in the conventional sense. There's always some element of kapara by a karban. That's not really what an ola is. An ola is not really about kapara. So if it's not really about his kapara, he doesn't care so much that it come from his money. But at the shas kapara, you do need his das because there's a mitzvah of smicha, and he wants to be able to do that mitzvah of smicha. So that's what also explains each shita. So it says, mace face. So the Gemara asks on both of them, on Shmuel and Ula. Because again, both Shmuel and Ula held that you don't need his das at both occasions. It's just they disagreed which stage you need his das and which stage you don't. Shmuel held only the afrasha, not the kapara. Ula held only the kapara, not the afrasha. But here's a braisa. Chatas of hashama olaso ushlam of shalploni alai. Person commits to someone else's kabran olah, ladas yatsa, shlo ladas lo yatsa. That only if it's with his das is he yotze, but without his das is not yotze. Sounds like this applies to both the zman afrasha and the zman hakapara, that you need his das for both of the zmanim against both Shmuel and Ula. Says Marna, Shmuel Mokila b'shas afrasha. Shmuel will say that price is only talking about the shas afrasha when you need his das, but not the shas kapara. And Ula Mokila b'shas kapara. Ula will say it's only talking about the shas kapara when you need his das, but not the shas afrasha. Amra Papa Masniyasa Adadi Lokashion. And therefore, the two prices are not really a steerer to each other. We had one price that says that Bein Ladas Bein Shlo Ladas is fine, and another price that says no Shlo Ladas Lo Yatsa. That's not a steerer. Habishas Kapara, Habishas Afrasha. One of them is talking about the time of Kapara, one of the Shas Afrasha. Which is which? Depends whether you hold like Ula or Shmuel. One of the, whichever way you want to go on it. V'amaroi nami lokasha. The Amaroi and Ula and Shmuel don't have any problem with either of the Brisos, because Shmuel muki kamaisa b'shas Kapara, b'shraisa b'shas Afrasha, and Ula muki yibcha. Because each one will say, yeah, the Brisa that says you need Das is only talking about that one stage when you do need Das, and the Brisa that says you don't need Das is talking about the stage that you don't need das. So according to Shmuel, yes das for that frasha, no for the kapara, and according to the Ula, the opposite. So the brises don't pose a problem for either of the Amoraim. But you should know, Amoraim vadi pliki. But certainly Ula and Shmuel are in disagreement with each other, because they're the reverse opinions of each other. So that certainly is true. Says Mar Pshita, isn't it Pashut that there's no, the way Rashi understands, which part of what we just said is Pshita? The second part, that there's no stira, there's no problem for the Amoraim from the Brises. I mean, we just said three things. That the Brises aren't a problem for each other, that's number one. Number two, that the Brises are not a problem for either of these Amoraim. And number three, that the Amoraim definitely disagree with each other. So the Gemara is saying, Pshita, the way Rashi understands, although it's Machlokas Rishonim, the way Rashi understands, Pshita is on the second statement, that the Brises are not a problem for the Amoraim. So says the Gemara, Ma'u detema, Ma'i b'shas hafrasha dekamer Shmuel, Af b'shas afrasha. I might have thought that when Shmuel said that you need das bailum at the shas afrasha, he means, of course, at the shas kapara, but even at the shas afrasha, meaning you need das at both stages, and therefore the brisa would be against Shmuel. The brisa says that you don't need das. So the avogavda hach kamaisa tiyufte. And so I would think that the first one is a tiyufta on Shmuel, so come out Shmuel. And that's why Rav Papa has to tell us no. When Shmuel says you need das at shas afrasha, he means only Shas Afrasha, not at the Shas Kapara. Good, v'chein b'gitei Nashim kofen, and we also could be kofen by Gitei Nashim against the guy's will. So Amrav Sheshes, hai man demasamo da'a gita. Let's say a person is Megarish, his wife, and before he gives the get, he gives him a da'a, that he's giving this get against his will, he's being forced into it, he lets Edim know that you're going to see that I'm going to give a get, I have no interest in giving this get, they're just forcing me to do it. Halacha is moda'i moda'a. His moda'a works, the get is not a valid get. We believe him, that he was being forced into it, and that it's therefore not a valid get. So says Mar Pshita, obviously, if he told you in advance that he's not intending on really giving the get, and he's just going to be physically forced to do it. So says Mar Lo Tzricha, the case is da'asu'uha v'iratzi. The case is that they forced him, and finally he said, Rotza'ani. So it's not just that he gave the get. He was misratza. Mal detema betule batle. I might think that the nesinus get is a raya, that he was mevatel's moda, kamash melon, that it's not so. The fact that he gave the get is just because he was forced, like he said he would be. Din came, because if I would have said mesiras haget itself is a bittul of the moda'a, lisni ad sheyitin, the Mishnah should have said ad sheyitin. I said it wrong before. I mean, the case is not that he said rotzani. I would have thought without saying rotzani, just the fact that he gives it is a bittul of the moda'a. So that's what we're telling us. No, if that were true, that just giving it is a bittul of the moda'a, the Mishnah should have said that it's not a valid get ad sheyitin, until he gives it. But it didn't say ad sheyitin, it said he needs more than that. My ad sheyomar, It's until he says rotza ani, means he says that I'm really rotza and I am hereby being mevatel my moda'a. Giving it is just an extension of the moda'a. He told you he was going to be forced to give it. But when he says rotza ani, that's his bittel of the moda'a, and then we assume that it is in fact a valid get. So hajin lacham mishkali. Now we begin the sixth parak, the coming one, coming fast in this mesechta. So the sixth parak of mesechta sarachin. So the parak is going to talk about collecting chovos from Yisomim and from Hegdish, and the way we do it sometimes by assessing the property that they have in order to pay back the debts that they owe. So because we got to sell their property, so first we need to get the best price for their property. The way to get the best price is you put it on the market and you get people to bid on it, and you publicize it as much as you can. The more buyers that are interested, obviously they can get interested, the better chance of getting a high price. So Shuma Yisomim, whenever we have to assess Karka of Yisomim, so Shloshim Yom, you always have to take 30 days to keep it on the market. Meaning these Yisomim, their father owed money to somebody and he left them an estate. So the halacha is that you sell the Karka in order to pay off the father's debts. So first, Beis Din assesses the Karka, how much the Karka is worth. And then they announce that they are selling the karka so that they can drum up some interest. And that achraza is done over a course of 30 days, so that a lot of people will hear about it. Vishuma Hegdish, a gizbar that needs to sell karka that belongs to Hegdish. So again, he's got to get the best price because you're dealing with Hegdish money. So Shishim Yom, 60 days of Hachraza in order to get the best price. Umakrizin, Baboker Ve'erev. And we announce twice a day, every day, Baboker Ve'erev. There's a discussion in the Rishonim, what about on Shabbos? Do you do the Hachraza on Shabbos as well? So the Chuvas HaGaonim writes, you can't do it on Shabbos, even B'shal Hagdash V'Yisomim. And Rav Haigon writes that it's also to be makros on Shabbos because Mimso Chavetz Chavadaber Davar. They're not allowed to talk business on Shabbos. So you're going to go announcing prices of property, of real estate on Shabbos. Right? Pashto says when you're reading your local Jewish newspapers, whichever one of the three, I'm not going to advertise for anyone, whichever one of the three you like to read, the local Jewish newspapers. So a lot of times you're curious what the real estate listings are in the, how much could I get from my house? I wonder whether, you know, So Pashto, you're not supposed to be reading those kinds of things on Shabbos. You're not supposed to be reading, the markets and what things are worth on Shabbos. So Umsochevzcha v'daber double. You're not allowed to be markets on Shabbos. So, however, the Mishnah Berurah writes in Simchat Shavuot, Sifkat Nun Gimel, that there are places that there are no heter on this kind of thing. And the Shartzin says because it's Tzorchei Rabim, meaning if this is something that it's going to save Hegdish money, it's going to make more money for Hegdish, that's considered Tzorchei Rabim. And Tzorchei Rabim, you're allowed to do, that's not a violation of Mimsochevzcha, because Chevzcha v'lo Chevzcha Shemayim, if it's for the sake of a shul or something like that, that's considered Chevzcha Shemayim. Also, this achraz is only by Mechiras Karka, not by Avadim or by Metaltalim. And the reason is it's a sugi Mesechus Ksubas. The Gemara says in the end of Mesechus Ksubas that by Avadim you're not machriz, because if the Eved finds out that you're being machriz, you know, that you're trying to sell him, he's going to run away. You know, he's not. The people who try to keep that, you know, I remember once when I was teaching in one of the institutions that I taught, one of the teachers in the teacher's room was looking through one of the newspapers, and he saw an announcement looking, you know, that this school is looking for a history teacher. And he's like, I'm a history teacher, you know, like, so that doesn't bode well, right? If he that should be done maybe a little more quietly. So you can be machriz. You have to the Eved. You don't want the Eved to know about it, that he's going to be that he's being sold. And the when it comes to metaltalin, you're afraid that it might get stolen. The people, you know, you never want to advertise what metaltalin you have. People are going to be after that metaltalin. Anyway, Maisha Baboker Berev, why is it Baboker Berev specifically? Is when the workers go out to work or when they come back from work. Why? Sometimes you know you have a worker who's very good at assessing karka. So when he goes out to work, you tell him, on your way, stop by that field and then let me know what you think about it, if it's a good investment. B'shas achnasas polim, you announce again, didn't kadamar lehu nezal neshailinhu, to remind the boss that he had asked his poel in the morning to look at it, so now he'll know to follow up, he'll remember to follow up, and ask, nu, what did you think about that karka? Tani nami hachi, shumay yisam shloshim yom, shumay hegt shishim yom, umakrizim babokr ba'erev, b'shas atzas polim, u'b'shas achnasas polim. It says explicitly when you, why you do it then, because that's when the poelim go out to work, and that's when the poelim come back from work. Omer sada ploni b'simaneho mimtzareha. When you are machriz, you say this field, and you give the simanim of the field and the boundaries of the field. Kachi yafa, this is what the field produces. V'kachi shuma, and this is what Beis Din initially assesses it at. Kala rotza likach yava v'yikach. Anyone who's interested should come and buy it. Amanas liten liyisha b'ksubasa or lebalchov b'chava. And you should announce specifically why it is that you're selling it, either to pay off a woman's ksuba or to pay off a chov. So lamali the meimer al manas liten liyisha b'ksubasa lebalchov b'chava. Why is that part necessary? Who cares why you're selling it? Why does it matter that is going to pay this chov or that chov when you're buying the field? Says Mar, because sometimes that talks to people. Sometimes people would prefer to be buying karka where the money is going to be used to pay off a balchov, because balichov typically will accept any kind of money. They're not makbid that it be in mint condition, that the coins be in mint condition. So the person knows he can get away with paying a lesser kind of coin. And some would prefer to be paying off a ksubasisha the shakla al yad, because when you're paying off a chov, the guy wants his full payment right away. When you're paying off a ksubasisha, the woman's not doing any business, she's not investing in anything, she doesn't need a lump sum, she just needs to support herself day after day, so she'll be willing to take it little by little. And that's why maybe that's a more interesting purchase for you, that you don't want to pay in a lump sum, but you want to pay little by little, which is going to be more appropriate for a ksubasisha. Okay, we'll stop there, and Bez Hashem Elisha will pick up on Chav Beis Amar Aleph tomorrow. I'll pick up from camp, Bez Hashem, tomorrow. Thank you.